Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vincent the Bay.
Vincent the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one-y.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Gay or what?
What's up, everybody? Hey, it's Vince in the motherfucking Bay. Welcome to yet another edition of Disorderly Conduct. It's Sunday, September 22nd, 2013. I'm Vince, and I'm unmuted, I hope, yes. I am also your audio erotic host for the next 2 hours. So, ladies, if you get... sometimes, I understand, we have topics and guests and callers that might bore some folks. Ladies, if you're ever... If you ever are bored, just call in when one of my guests is bloviating about something pointless and nonsensical. Call in. I'll get you in the screening room. We'll go in the green room, and we'll take care of some business. You know, if you know what I'm saying, I have a little phone fun. Be great. But seriously, folks, that's just the show within the show. The actual broadcast is what matters, and I'm really, really psyched on this one tonight, especially because of my special guest tonight. I have thought to invite Greg Hausch to my show for a long time now and just never acted on it. And when I saw him surface on Twitter recently, maybe a couple of months ago, I guess now, I thought, hey, I should try to get that guy on the show. So I reached out to him, and he said yes, and he's going to be here tonight. If you're not familiar with Greg, well, let me tell you. He is a digital activist and computer engineer by day, or by trade, I should say. Greg is best known for participating in the early anonymous 4chan raids on the Church of Scientology. He was a major player in helping establish Chanology, which was, or still is, it's still out there. I know there's still one in San Francisco. I hope some of those guys will actually call in tonight. Those guys, there's a little handful, a little group that's holding on in San Francisco. They're dedicated. I have to give it to them. It's been what, 5 years later, and these people are still protesting Chanology. You know, more power to them. Good folks, too. I hung out with them a couple of times. They were great. They were fun. I brought my megaphone. We chanted, "We are Legion, and we run this," and all this stuff, and it was a hoot. It was like a party on the street outside of the Chanology, the Scientology building in San Francisco. It's beautiful. I love the Chanology, folks. I love it. I missed the original thing. Honestly, Anonymous didn't really come, wasn't really, like, I knew, known about Anonymous, sort of, but not really, didn't, like, I knew about, heard about Chanology, but didn't really pay close attention to it. It wasn't until later when Lulzsec and all that stuff happened that I started to really pay attention to Anonymous. But, of course, everybody knows that Anonymous, you know, its roots came out of the online image sharing site 4chan. And, you know, that folks, nefarious youngsters, would congregate on there and share naughty pictures and also formulate plans for various pranks. And they got really good at it. They were very nasty pranks, but it was usually always virtual. It was always done, you know, either over the phone or through the internet somehow. But it wasn't until, as far as I know, the first time that people physically acted out as a group. From this community, it was the Chanology protests, and that kind of caught fire for a while. It didn't get big enough that it was much of a blip on my radar. To be honest, like at the time, I probably saw one story about it. Maybe I was vaguely aware of it, but now looking back and watching a film like, say, We Are Legion, the movie that Brian Knappenberger made, also a friend of the show, who's been on this program, in which Greg appears in. That's, you know, it's a great little primer on, you know, sort of what, how Anonymous came to be and what it eventually morphed into. And now I can't wait to talk to Greg because I was just on Russell Lee Radio and I was trying to promote the show, and they were talking about Anonymous, and they were talking about Urinon News, blah-bitty, blue-bitty. And, you know, it sprung to my mind. I was like, hey, you know what? Does Anonymous even do ops anymore? Like, I remember when Anonymous was sort of, like, after Chanology happened, and then people decided, like, hey, dude, we can do this shit in real life, you know, in tandem with digital activism and shit. This is going to be fucking epic. And if I'm not mistaken, Operation BART was one of those operations that had boots on the ground, if you will, Anons. Ground fags, I believe they're called. And this is because essentially, Greg will come on and clarify this, but as I understand it, Chanology was the beginning of the end of Anonymous, really. When it started its trajectory towards moral fagging. And at a certain point, the lulz fagging got overwhelmed by the moral fagging. And thanks to the media, Anonymous is now synonymous with being white knights and moral fags. And it's really amazing how over the course of 5 years, an internet joke could have developed so quickly and risen and fallen so dramatically. And I'm really excited to have Greg on to help me recap that and get his take on everything. And as always, I would love for you to tweet out the show. Let's get people in here. If you're an Anon, former Anon, you hate Anons, whatever. You got a buddy who's an Anon or a former Anon, recovering Anon. Or you're just interested in digital activism in general, because I'm really interested. Greg seems like a fascinating guy, and in doing show prep for this, I read some interviews and stuff, and I went on YouTube and listened to a lot of really cool interviews with Greg, and seems like a pretty dynamic character. Seems like a very cool, chill guy, funny. Smart, witty, easygoing, and I'm really stoked to hang out with him tonight and just hopefully, here's some interesting stories from the archives of Anonymous. And, of course, Greg is in the process of writing a book, and hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit, too. Greg had got a book deal with Amazon, I believe, and he hired Barrett Brown, of all people, to be his co-writer. And, of course, we know, on this show we've talked about Barrett Brown extensively, so we know the current status of Barrett. So, in lieu of that, Greg has since moved on and hired on a replacement writer to replace Barrett. And hopefully this book is going to be out sometime soon. I'm hoping he will give us some insight on that. And I believe the book is essentially about Greg and his experience being in Anonymous, or Chanology and Anonymous. All right, with all that nonsense out of the way, if you're new to my show or you forget, I try to make this show interactive. It's internet radio. I like it when people tweet me stuff. Like, some people don't want to or can't, for whatever reason, listen and be in the chat room, but they still can listen and tweet. I check my Twitter a lot during the show. If you have a question for me or my guest, I'll be checking that randomly and hopefully trying to integrate those questions and comments into the dialogue. Of course, the chat room. If you're in the chat room, by all means, first of all, you guys know the ground rules, all right? Basically, there is on the air callers, the rules are there is. First of all, you can say any four-letter word you want. No problem. Four-letter words are fine. Shit, fuck, cunt, whatever. Yeah, it's fine. No biggie. I mean, don't be excessive. That just becomes like Tourette's. Come on. I have no problem with mentioning three-letter agencies. That's perfectly fine. I do not allow the use of what I term the L word. The L word. I'm not talking about the HBO lesbian show, okay? I'm talking about, or is it Showtime? I don't know. Whatever. The L word, of course, is literally. Now, this is in protest to Webster's Dictionary adding to the definition of literally something to the effect that literally is just sort of an expression of excitement and is not meant, you know, essentially saying literally means hypothetically. Literally, like, Merriam-Webster's Dictionary just contradicted English. Come on, the word literally has now has a definition of also literally. The definition is something that actually happens. Also B, figuratively happening, something that didn't actually happen. Explain that to me. Okay, and it really pisses me off, especially here in California when I got all these, you know, little. These kids, these little spoiled brats, they say the word literally every other word, and half the time they're not using it correctly. It'd be one thing if they just, okay, all right, technically you used the word correctly, fine. But then you got people that just use it nonstop for no reason. And, you know, if you think about it, you see a sentence, even if it's used correctly, you could easily take the word out of the sentence and it make just as much sense. It's really an overused, benign, really, it really doesn't serve any purpose. So you get 2 minutes if you use the word literally. You get 2 minutes timeout also if you, we don't give shout outs on this show. You're welcome to, like, you know, say hi to your homeboys on the air, but you can't give shout outs. You'll get 2 minutes if you use that term. That shout outs, that's like 80 or 89 year old women give shout outs. Not us. We're the internet. Okay. We're ahead of the curve. So I opt for alternatives like thanks or big ups or props, whatever. What else? Another one is in terms of. If you use the phrase in terms of, boom, 2 minutes. Overused phrase, very trite, pompous. It's just, no. And then there's one more. I forgot the other one. Oh, at the end of the day. Oh, that's right. The final one is at the end of the day. When people say, You know, at the end of the day, we're all just human beings living in on the planet together. Oh, really? Not in the morning or in the afternoon? Just at the end of the day. Not at the beginning of the day, not in the middle of the day, just at the end. Yeah, only at the end of the day. We're not humans living on the planet in the beginning of the day, just. But at the end of the day, we are. Get the fuck out of here with that end of the day shit. You get 2 minutes on my show for that, all right? So hopefully we've got that out of the way. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, screen my calls, and hopefully be right back with my special guest tonight, Greg Hausch. Of course, once again, Greg Hausch, best known for being one of the pioneers of the Chanology movement, and and among other things, he's also does a lot of SEO consulting work, and I'm anxious to talk to him about that as well, and so much more. We've got tons and tons to talk about, and of course, take your calls. So I think I've vamped up enough of our time here. I want to, and as always, the show is curated. The music for the show is curated by my guests, and my guest tonight is Greg, of course, and he chose three tracks, and we're going to hear one of them right now. Go to this track and then come back with Greg. This first one we're going to go with here is by Lagwagon. It's called Falling Apart, and it's a pretty rocking track, dudes. Like, totally listen.
Falling and I can't get up. Oh,
Shit. Was I on mute that whole time? Fuck. My bad. I don't see Greg on my switchboard yet. I hope he's caught trying to call in. I hope he's calling in momentarily. We'll be here momentarily. Greg, if you're listening, it's really easy. You just go to my Twitter account. It's probably the last tweet that I've done where, I hope I didn't scare him off with the whole literally thing. I wonder if he's like, oh, that sucks. I said it literally a lot. I'm going to be in trouble. Fuck this. I'm not calling. I wonder if I scared him. He's like, oh, I always say at the end of the day. What's wrong with that? It's a great dramatic way to get your point across. I don't think I can handle that. I can't blame him. Hopefully he'll be here soon, though. In the meantime, we have a couple callers here. Let's see who this is. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
You know, I really wish that Rainbow Dash was a sea pony because I would be able to fuck her sea pony plot. Because sea pony plot is so much, I cannot express this enough. It is so much better than pony plot.
What the fuck is going on, dude?
Buzz. I'm sucking dicks.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. All right, well, while we're waiting for Greg to show up, I'm going to read some tweets. Oh, I want to thank Lyra's EBT card for tweeting the show. I'd like to thank Feel Rad for tweeting the show. Also, Katie Morgan, thank you for tweeting the show. Op Manning, thank you for tweeting the show. Ancap Dalek, thank you for tweeting the show. Okananga the _Anon, thank you for tweeting the show. Oh, look, Greg Hoosh himself, Hausch. Oh, I wonder if I fucked up his name and that's why he's not calling. Greg Hausch also tweeted the show. My Fed Ninja says some bullshit. Fuck you, my Fed Ninja. Here we go. Dolores Schilling tweets, Vince, I still think, quote, to be honest, end quote, should be on that do not say on air list too. She thinks, to be honest. Yeah, to be honest, I really just don't agree with that. Yeah, I can consider that. You know what? I'm gonna put that through committee, and we'll put that under consideration. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of if it were a banned term, to be honest, would not be violated a lot. I don't think it's a problem right now, but I'll keep an eye on it. Thank you for your input. It's appreciated. Who else do we got? Three, four, seven, 826-7667 is the number. Oh, here's a blocked number. Let's see who this is. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Vince, how's it going?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is Greg. This is Greg, Vince.
No, it's not.
It's Greg.
No.
You guys talking about the Jews yet?
It's not. No.
No, Vince, when you talk about the Jews, this is Greg.
Okay.
Vince,
no,
it's Greg on 410, man. Vince, Greg,
no,
let's talk about the Jews.
This is terrible. This is really obscene. Nick, you're drunk. I think you should just hang up and go to bed. Okay, Nick?
Vince? This is Greg.
No.
4chan,
no,
man.
No,
I'm talking about the Jews.
We're not going to talk about the Jews. At least not right now. Jesus Christ. All right, let's see. Another caller on screen. Who's this? Hello?
Do you actually have me here, Vince?
Yeah, I do. Who's that?
This is Greg.
Oh.
You're not on Skype, so I had to call into the phone number.
Oh, okay. My bad. I am on Skype. I think I'm on a different account than the one I gave you. I didn't realize you wanted to connect, to actually bridge through Skype. What I was suggesting is, if you go to my show page, like the link that I sent you, if you go there and then you scroll up to the top of the page and sort of in the right-hand-ish corner, there's a teeny tiny little blue button, and
yeah,
it's got the Skype S, and then you click on that, and then boom, a series of windows connects you through to your Skype, and then boom, bada bing, bada boom, you should be in.
Yeah, no worries. We're on the phone now. That works good enough, right?
Oh, yeah, you sound fine. This works for me, if it works for you.
Yeah, I don't care. I was just doing what you said in the direct messages there. I don't care. We're on. Let's talk.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining me, first off. I'm really excited to talk. Yeah. Man, there's so much going on, and there's plenty of things I think you could talk about and comment on. And I mentioned a lot in my description here. You obviously were one of the early folks involved in Chanology and what became the internet entity or whatever you want to call it that is Anonymous. I'm curious what your back before we talk about Anonymous and hacktivism and all that stuff. I was wondering if for people that maybe don't even know who the hell you are. Or no, of you, but
I don't know how that's possible. You've said my name like 500 times now in 30 minutes.
Exactly. But if you could just maybe give us your background, and how you got to the point of getting involved in that activism against the Church of Scientology, like your background, how you got into computers. Were you like a kid of the internet in the 90s? I know that there was that you had some pirating charges against you in the 90s that I'm sure were related to the internet. Tell us a little bit about that background.
Sure. I was, pretty deep into the Wera scene, the software, movie, MP3, the works, piracy in the 90s. And a couple of mistakes were made, and someone got to ID me in person and turned me in, and I went to prison for it. Got out of prison, and was bored off my ass, unable to do all the fun stuff I used to do. So I ended up finding 4chan, which is, I think, a thing that happens to people who are bored on the internet and can't do the things they'd normally like to do. So, I mean, that's the easiest way to say how I got there.
Excellent. And so you have a computer background as a programmer and an engineer, is that right?
Yeah. I was doing programming and network engineering for a while in the 90s and early 2000s, and absolutely hated it. And so decided to say fuck it, and went and did computer repair for a few years there, and didn't like that either. So now I work at home, sitting at a desk at the end of my bed doing web design all day.
Right. And you're also involved in SEO.
Yeah, web design, SEO, the works.
And that's search engine optimization, if I'm correct?
Yeah. I try and build websites for small businesses, and then I try and drive traffic to them. So they're actually successful small businesses. It's something I can do that I actually feel good about, one of those rare things I can do in life.
That's awesome. Now, Now you're pretty much done with hacktivism per se now, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm still around it enough, but I'm so out there that I think if I even consider doing it, I'm probably going to get raided. So
yeah.
I do my best to avoid actually being anywhere when the shit goes down because, I mean, you said my name 500 times. It's because everyone knows who I am at this point, you know. Getting outed by the Church of Scientology's private eyes was definitely fun.
Mm-hmm. So has this, so after you got outed and being one of the first people that were outed, how did that affect you as far as securing your online presence, protecting your identity? What sort of measures did you have to take, you know, personally after you got outed like that? Because I've heard horror stories, and again, it could just be...
I didn't have time to. You know, one of the weirdest things that happened was that, well, I learned about the press at that, like, that minute I learned about the press. One of the things I learned was most press outfits, you know, the big ones from New York Times all the way down to the, you know, little city ones there, can't print anonymous sources. So all the stuff that Anonymous was doing that they wanted to print about, they were only printing, I guess, what you could call Anonymous's enemies' side of the story. So like the Church of Scientology side of the story. And when I got outed, within hours of my name hitting online and the Church of Scientology's little video about hate speech and everything, I was inundated, like hundreds of emails, phone calls. A guy from the Daily Mail showed up on my doorstep, you know, tabloid reporter. And I had never done any of that type of stuff before, any, you know, media or anything. And so I went back to the Anons that I was kind of around as we were doing all that stuff and all that planning for what was going on at that time and said, I don't want to respond to these people. And we had a conversation about the fact that it would be nice if we had our side of the damn story printed in the press. So after a couple hours of back and forth, we finally agreed. And, well, or I was talked into it. I'm not sure that first day. Now I do it just because whatever. But at that point, I was definitely talked into it. And I went and did all that press so we could get our side of the argument out and why it was happening to the Church of Scientology and why they were such a fun target to have. And that just, that put my name out everywhere. And, you know, from then on, I've just been called or asked or emailed or whatever, you know, on a near daily basis about this stuff.
Right. And so have you...
No real time to go hide.
Yeah. So after Chanology, did you ever really participate in any other anonymous operations outside of that?
Oh, yeah, lots of them. I mean, there's been lots of stuff after that that was in the streets, that was protest planning. That was, you know, similar. And the first time that they kind of, you know, in the streets went up against the state was later that year in Operation Titstorm in Australia. And,
Operation Tit as in boobies?
Operation Titstorm. I don't know if you've followed the news at all about this, but, you know, for the last 10 years, Australia has tried on a near yearly basis to get filters in place. On, you know, blacklists and whatnot on their internet so they could block whatever they felt like blocking. And every time they try and pass the law, they come up with a new reason to scare the populace into letting them do this so they can then abuse it, you know, much like, you know, all the other countries abuse their firewalls, right? And so their argument that year was that women with small breasts, A cups and whatnot, would drive men to child pornography. If you liked women with small breasts, then you would like children too. And so they had to block all women with small breasts from the internet. So it was really just another scare tactic to get the filters in place. And a ton of actual, a ton of people down there were really upset at the idea that they were using that tactic to get it done. So a guy came on and, you know, a lot of us talked about it and what needed to get done and all the media contacts we already had. And in the end, you know, Titstorm went off and they had people in the streets within days and senators down there saying they weren't going to vote for it now by the end of the first week. So it was an interesting campaign, but it was kind of the first time they went up against a state, you know, instead of just a target like, you know, Scientology or even like Hal Turner or Havo or any of the other stuff they had done before that, you know?
Oh, God, Hal Turner. You know, I didn't even know who the hell that guy was until there until some stupid troll on the internet accused me of being a Hal Turner. I was like, what? Why is this? And okay, this I'm pretty sure this is like a Neil Rauhauser puppet, a sock puppet. It's like it's a carrot, and it keeps accusing me of being a Fed and all this bullshit. And that's one of the things it said. It said, you know, Vince in the Bay equals Hal Turner, and I'm like, who the fuck is Hal Turner, dude? And I looked him up, and he's like this. He's like this racist talk show host that, I don't know, was an informant for the FBI or something, I guess. And he got trolled on his show, or I don't even know the story. Do you know what it's all about?
He was trolling up kind of well-known or non from 4chan and from 4chan's chat channels. And they had gotten into a little verbal battle. And a bunch of Anons decided that they were sick of Hal Turner going after this one Anon. And so they all turned on him and started calling into his show, just completely fucking with him online, sending tons of crap to his house. Like, it was very much a standard raid. That was the one where I learned that you could send hardwood flooring samples to someone's house. And you could do it for free. Places would send you like a square foot or even smaller pieces of hardwood, right? To decide whether you wanted to buy their product. And there were so many places in America that would send that piece that if you got them all to send it, you'd fill someone's house up.
That's awesome.
That kind of funny stuff was done to him.
Oh, that's a great one. I haven't heard that one. I'm definitely not going to try that.
Well, who knows if it works anymore after the amount of abuse it got back then?
Yeah, that's what I see, and pizza bombing. You know, you would think that by now there's been some contingencies put in place. You know, they've trained their callers at the pizza place. They're like, all right, guys, you know about these fucking stupid anonymous kids, right? Come on, you guys are in high school. Yeah, you guys are probably some of them yourself, assholes. All right, look, if somebody calls in and, you know, just randomly orders, like, you know, 30 pizzas to somebody's house, I mean, come on, feel the people out. There should be, like, warning signs. You ask questions. I mean, if they ask you to illustrate some form of genitalia on the inside of the box, that's a red flag, you know. There's got to be some sort of I don't know, some sort of security put in place because of that abuse.
Quite possibly, who knows? But you know, people will always find other ways.
Exactly. It's like anything else. You take one tool away, they're one step ahead of you. They find another avenue to achieve the same level of enjoyment. Oh man, that's awesome! I'd never known of Operation Titstorm. That's just a great name for an op to begin
that
with.
That was a good name. Tux came up with that. That was a really good name.
Who came up with that?
One of the IRC guys, Tux, who was around a lot. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Tux. Right on. So do you still cruise around the IRCs and stuff now, or are you too busy with work and life, or what's
work and life have definitely taken up way too much of my time lately. I mean, kids and everything, you know, growing up, all that. But I do show up when I can and hang out for little bits here and there. And, of course, if I'm looking for anyone I need to talk to about anything, then I head over. But I don't idle anymore.
Do you still keep in touch with a lot of your really close comrades in arms from your sort of the peak days of your activism?
Well, yeah. I mean, I still do a lot of activism on the local scale and on the international scale. I just don't do much of the, you know, activism related stuff, because doing the illegal things with my name out there, as much as it is, would be really stupid on my part.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think now, well, by now, after you know, in this sort of post Lulzsec environment, I think hacktivism has got to morph into something else. Like, I almost call it digital activism now, because I think there's other ways to do it other than DDoSing. You know, I get the argument for DDoSing on both sides, but I don't know. I think Anonymous, or at least the Anonymous I remember, they were pretty crafty. They were to me the internet merry pranksters, and I believe
their proper name back then was the Internet Hate Machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. They just felt like merry pranksters to me, that were, you know, these evil little elves that danced around the internet, and you went into these really archaic chat rooms, and you had to be on a VPN and 15,000 proxies and on Tor and on this and that, and you have to have the shell account around another shell account, and even then you're fucked because, you know, some elite hacker is going to find you anyways and, you know, send the SWAT team to kill you. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, everyone says that about the SWAT teams killing people, but it's a relatively rare occasion. Some people have gotten the shit knocked out of them, but when people have been swatted, I mean, I don't think I remember one case of any of the actual, you know, hacker swattings resulting in death. Someone please prove me wrong, but...
Oh, I hope no one can prove you wrong, but it still happens.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's still a thing. And actually, it's kind of a big thing now, especially with the celebrities. But to me that's a touchy issue, because first of all, it's happened to my family. But I think in some cases it can be interpreted as attempted murder. And to me, that's like crossing the line. Like, one thing to me, it's like, it comes with the territory to get pizza bombed. You know, I've been pizza bombed, Chinese food bombed, text bombed. You name it. I've had to change my personal cell phone number 5 times. I don't list my home address anymore. This is all because I want to do a fun internet radio show late at night and let anybody and everybody who wants to call in and talk. And of course, you know, these anonymous assholes will dox me up and back, and you know, everybody's got to. It's almost like I can set my watch to it. You know, I'll get a new wave of new fags that come along and go, "Ooh, this Vince the Big Guy. Oh, is he really named Vince?" And they find, "Oh my God, he really is. Holy shit, he's a real person. Oh, dude." You know, it's like, yeah, hi, I'm Vince. You know, whatever. You know, welcome. You know, just get back to me when you're done jerking off to my YouTube videos. I don't know. It bewilders my mind. And what I'd like to think is that hopefully we can, right now we're moving towards like the post-anonymous phase of digital activism. You know, Anonymous was great because it sort of put the idea of hacktivism and digital activism on the map. And I think the really smart, innovative people are going to, you know, are already moved beyond that. And I'm really excited to see what happens in the future. What are your thoughts about what the future of digital activism is going to be like, especially with all these different? It seems like almost every week you hear about some law that the Senate or the House of Representatives are going to try to push through. It's going to somehow, you know, mess with you know, internet censorship, or you know, even the Democrats want to tax the internet, you know, internet sales tax and stuff like that. What do you think of that stuff?
You asked like 50 questions there. Let's go to the first one.
Answer the first 24.
Sure. I mean, you know, every time someone seems to say that Anonymous is dying or that, you know, it's changing or that they aren't what they used to be, it seems that, you know, either within a day or within at least a month, another big act happens on Anonymous's part, you know. Like the day that Sabu was outed as working with the feds, right? That night, CIA's website went down and a bunch of other hacks happened. There was an article in USA Today a couple years ago about how it seemed like Anonymous was dying down. And, you know, it was sure it wasn't doing anything that the big news was covering for a couple months. Doesn't mean it wasn't doing anything. I find the idea funny because every time someone talks about it in any kind of serious way, something happens to prove them wrong. So I'll never claim to be smart enough to judge that one because who the hell knows?
Right. All right. I'm getting lots of different questions sent to me and stuff. People are asking what they want to. They want to know your opinions on different people. Before I get to these things, we had a show the other night where we did a poll, and we said, okay, who is the most responsible for the not the downfall, but the negative publicity that Anonymous has surrounding it. Who do you think has done the most to damage the overall image of people who operate under that banner?
I have no earthly idea how you possibly damage the image of Anonymous. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Anonymous has a ton of people who love to seemingly do good things for the right, you know, the protesters, the ones out in the streets. But it also has the same group of people that went out and, you know, threw up animated GIFs in JavaScript on epilepsy forums that, you know, put a bunch of epileptics down on the ground, you know, in seizures. I mean, I don't see how you possibly ruin an image that is both just as good as it is bad.
That is correct. Well, let's see. What else do we have here? You mentioned Sabu. What are your thoughts on Sabu? What do you think? What do you think about that guy?
I think most of what he did at the end there was entrapment operations, and I wish it wasn't so hard to actually go to court with your defense as entrapment. I mean, basically going to court and saying you were entrapped is a good way to get prosecuted harshly. You know, what is it, like 1 out of 1,000 actually are successful? But I do believe pretty much everything he did at the end there was entrapment. Brought them targets, showed them how to hack them, and then egged them on to do it. I mean, it's mind-blowing to me that they can get away with that.
Yeah, and I think it was Jeremy Hammond that made a comment that he felt that essentially the FBI was letting these Anonymous kids do their dirty work for them.
Quite possibly, who knows?
And that Sabu, they were trying to catch these kids selling the Stratford emails to WikiLeaks, or it was Sabu that was trying to sell it to WikiLeaks, and the other guys in Anonymous were just like, fuck it, we're just going to give it to them. And
it's an interesting theory. I mean, a lot of people were on IRC in those couple days after all of that went down, and what people came up with, you know, I was kind of around for this, was the idea that the way, you know, the timeline plays out, they got the files, Sabu had access to them, and he was going to try and sell them to Julian, and then Julian would have bought known stolen goods, which would have, of course, been a crime that they could charge him with, and it would have been the first real charge they could get on him here in the States, right? And yeah. That, unbeknownst to Jeremy, he went and just gave the files to Julian, not knowing that that was going on. And so he broke up an entrapment scheme that he knew nothing about. And the argument was made stronger by people who were saying that his over-prosecution and just how harshly they went after him was because he broke up that entrapment. Now, I mean, there's no proof of this, so who knows? But that was kind of the running theory for the next few days of the people who were around on those channels when it went on.
Excellent. Okay, we have a bunch of people that are they're patiently waiting on hold, and I think they have questions for you. We're going to get to them shortly. But before we do, I want to do I have one more thing I want to touch on before we take a quick break and then take calls. And again, Greg, thank you so much for giving your time tonight. This has been awesome so far, and hopefully it'll get more interesting with the calls.
Sure.
Okay. So a big topic on my show as of late is Barrett Brown, and you obviously have a very close connection to Barrett Brown. Could you first tell us how did you get to know Barrett Brown?
Well, he wrote a post in the Huffington Post, one of his articles when he was just doing that. And it was about the destruction of nation states. And he had said that the ways Anonymous was working and the online hackers and kind of the online moving to the offline protest was all going to lead to the end of some nation states. And that if it wasn't Anonymous that actually did it, that it would still be those methods that had kind of been figured out by the various Anons that would lead to it. And I thought he was going way too far with the way he was thinking about things. But I thought, you know, some of his points were interesting, so I just wanted to talk to the guy. He sounded intelligent, you know, a very specific type of intelligence. So I emailed the author, you know. You can get the email address. And so I just emailed him. And within a few minutes, he emailed back and asked to come on to the IRC where all the Anons were doing this stuff. So I told him which IRC server they were on. And from that point on, he really never left. That was pretty much him getting right on IRC and staying there.
So basically, you were Barrett's gateway drug to Anonymous.
Well, I mean, he'd been around it in ways, but he's not actually very technical. You know, he's a writer, a researcher, and, you know, he's no hacker. I think it's hilarious when articles and whatnot list him as a hacker because he's really not. Like, going down to the command line, even on his Windows installs, is a scary thing to him. So it's hilarious. He had just never actually hung out on the various IRCs where the Anons doing this type of stuff were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It blows me away. You know, what he's up against with his case right now. Considering that's the level of technical skill he has, and he's, you know, an investigative journalist. He's just, I think he's a kindred spirit in ways with the hackers, because it seems to me that the one, like, I went to DEF CON for the first time this year, and it seemed to me like the one thing that sort of ran through everything was just general curiosity. Like, it seems like hackers, for the most part, are curious about how things work, you know, taking things apart and putting them back together or rearranging them or just, you know, figuring out the inner workings of things, essentially. And I think that's how Barrett Brown was with his reporting and with his journalism. And I think that jived well with the whole idea of Anonymous. And why not? You know, when I first found out about Anonymous, I was probably just as enamored, and probably could have easily have fell prey to what he did. It's too bad that he got so far into it, though, that it drove him nuts, you know. And he was, you know, juggling an addiction problem and everything else. You know, it's no wonder that he would have snapped at some point, but. I mean, it's just ridiculous that he's still in prison. And essentially, at this point, I see him as a political prisoner because, all right, so, you know, I'll agree that I'll grant you that he threatened a law enforcement officer. Fine. He's been in jail for over a year. I think that's probably already time served for doing something like that. If that was the only charge, he'd probably already be out by now. But no, they slapped all this other nonsense, which I honestly, to be honest, don't quite understand. I know the whole theory out there floating around is just like, oh my God, he's being prosecuted for 100 years for posting a link, and it's got to be more than that. I know there's like 12 counts, and there's got to be a little more nuances than that. But still, it's a white collar crime. I really don't see the victims. I don't know when. He posted that link and where he did exactly, because if this was a list of stolen cards and it had been out there for a while and it got to the point where a reporter had found out about it, that tells me it's been out there. Probably law enforcement already knew it was out there. The corresponding financial institutions probably, had their safety precautions kick in. I bet most of those cards were probably already canceled by the time he posted that. So I can't believe he doesn't have a slam dunk case, and it blows my mind that they have to keep him incarcerated over this for a nonviolent, not even a physical crime, really. You know what I mean?
Very much agreed. You're speaking to the choir here. I believe he absolutely is at this point a political prisoner. He is facing more time for sharing that link than the person who pled guilty to doing the hack. That is the part right there that really blows my mind.
Yeah. I think when
also,
it's all
I'd just
said
like it... to, I just like to make a shout out to Nick Nack here. I'm loving this guy in chat.
Oh my God, dude! Did he? Dude! Yeah, he's out of control, man. Okay, I got a shit ton of callers that want to get on here and talk with you. Do you mind hanging out and taking some calls?
Yeah, have at it. I'm sure this will be fun.
Yeah, I think it will be too. But yeah, you've been a good sport so far. And I hope this will only get more interesting and fun as we go. Okay, so you gave me three songs. What was the other one I was gonna play? All right, I'm gonna play another Lagwagon song. This one is entitled "Island of Shame," and I don't even know. So are you a big Lagwagon fan? What's your thing with them?
You asked for some of the bands I like, so I listed them off. They're definitely one of the bands I like. I mean, I like them all, NoFX. That kind of whole, late 80s, 90s punk stuff. They're just what I'm into. I'm old.
I'm old, too. Lagwagon takes me back. I used to do college radio back in the 90s, and I remember playing Lagwagon, Lagwagon. I used to play 7 inches of them and stuff in college radio in San Jose. And, I remember playing them Pennywise, NoFX, all those. NoFX is from the Bay Area. So I remember those days too, man. I'm just as old. I think I'm probably older than you. I served 3 tours in Nam, so I think that predates me by me a little bit, but anyway,
I might not have been born yet.
Right. It's cool though. I think intellectually you're probably more advanced than me because I have very few brain cells that are left and functional. So anyway.
I don't know that I'll actively agree with that, but sure.
Whatever. It is what it is. I'm Vincent the Bay. I'm stoked to be hanging out with Greg Hausch. We're talking about synchronized swimming and the Beatles. If you have anything you'd like to chime in about, 347-826-7667 is the number. I know we have quite a few folks on the line. Be patient. I'm going to screen some calls while we listen to this tune from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Be right back. Kids, that was Carlos Santana with the track Enter Sandman here on Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince of the Bay. I'll be right back with my special guest, Greg Hausch in the house and taking your calls. It's 347-826-7667.
Tune to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay.
Don't quit your day job. Yarrai
me! Mentre la multinazionale Thomson si è impadronita di tutti I brevetti della DPL e la ricerca ufficiale sembra si sia concentrata su applicazioni industriali di scarso interesse sociale e comunicativo, il sogno dei pionieri delle realtà virtuali perché queste siano condivise da più persone ed economicamente accessibili a tutti sembra allontanarsi. Ma la sperimentazione indipendente non si è fermata e oggi, grazie ad alcuni geniali creativi, è possibile accedere a dei sistemi di realtà virtuale a basso costo e condivisibili. Parliamo di Rentro 86, un segnale in gran posto.
Finish him! tough fighters are really something else.
Flawless victory. Friendship.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vince in the Bay.
What a silly Negro.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. This is Vince of the Bay. Okay, I lied. I did not get a chance to screen all the callers. So, shit, where's Greg? Greg, are you there? Is that Greg?
Right here.
Okay, okay,
dude. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can totally hear you. All right.
Cool.
We're going to try a couple of these unscreened. How do you feel about that?
I don't care at all.
Sweet. I don't either. Okay, here we go. Caller, block number. You've been on hold for quite a while. Thank you for your patience. You're not now on the air. Caller, who is this and what's on your mind?
Hey, Vince. How's it going?
Hey, it's Gonzo PhD, everybody. Welcome, Gonzo. You're on with Greg Hausch.
Hey, Greg, how's it going?
It's going all right.
Thank you for an hour of exceptional content. We don't get that. We don't get that often in the first hour after the monologue. No, I thought I'd call in and see what you had to say about. Just for fun, I mean, hot button topic since we're on Anonymous and everything. So there was Greg Hausch and then there's fake Greg Hausch, which,
sure,
as we all know, is, you know, Emick. So I thought I'd ask you, how do you feel about Jennifer Emick? And I'll preface this by saying that, you know, the rest of us think she's the biggest joke on the internet, but I wanted to just kind of open up the discussion and ask how you feel about Jennifer Emick and the failed housewife / Prozac researcher / I don't even know what she really is.
This is definitely a hot button topic. Good one. Way to throw me under the bus there with the first question. I like it. All right.
She rides a Roomba, bro. She rides a Roomba. The witch
rides
a Roomba.
You know, I've known her since early 2008 in the beginning of the Chenology stuff, long before the security stuff. And there was a time at the very beginning of it where she actually did a lot of work for the anti-Scientology stuff and some of the running of websites for Anonymous and whatnot that was useful. And then it just kept getting weirder. And, I mean, we found ourselves on the opposite sides of a lot of things and I don't know. I mean, I don't hate her. I don't really care.
It wasn't about asking. Like, it's not about if you hate her. It was more about like the sort of fame fagging. I got my name in Rolling Stone as the guy who outed Sabu when Kelly Hallisey had Sabu's docs months before that, and it was public knowledge who she was, and she ran to Rolling Stone, and you know all the crazy shit she's done since then. I mean, I've had the pleasure of speaking with her on Blog Talk Radio, and humiliating her in front of, you know, all seven of Vince's viewers in the past, and really enjoyed the whole, you know, retarded housewife who can, you know, who can copy and paste logs and send them to a, you know, .gov tips type thing. And I just wondered what you thought of it since she, you know, created the fake you and then outed.
Oh, I thought that was, you know, funny. I mean, within about 2 minutes of seeing the account, which it had actually been up for days before I even knew anything about it, because I like Vince kind of said, you know, at the beginning here, I just got on Twitter months ago because I've hated it since it came out, and I still am not a fan of Twitter, but I'm using it now because it's kind of the thing.
Well, the second I saw it
and read the messages, I knew it was her, and I went and told everyone that seems to care, like Barrett and whatnot, the ones who had brought it to my attention, that it was Jennifer and that I didn't really care, and I up and disappeared. And I mean, I don't know. It was just one of those things where I was like, yeah, it's Jennifer, so what? And she never did anything that really bothered me. Like, I guess I would hold a bigger grudge if anything she had ever tried to do to me had actually really gotten to me, but it hasn't.
She's actually, I mean, actually never done anything that actually affected anyone, really.
Probably.
I think her claim to fame is, you know, that Rolling Stone printed something about her outing Sabu, which she didn't actually do. So, I mean, you know.
Well, as I understand it, Kelly did have those docs first. So, I mean, I wasn't there.
Well,
I'm not saying that
Kelly docs Sabu to the FBI. I'm just saying that Hector's docs was out there for a while.
Oh,
yeah. For anyone to pick up. And I'm sure that people much more technologically advanced than Jennifer Emmick had the docs, you know, before she did.
Just probably.
Her whole flag waving, you know, campaign against, I'm not even exactly sure what her campaign is against. She's so incredibly vague.
You know, there was a treehouse, as we used to call it, when she first started doing this, where they would have Skype conference calls for just hours and hours a night. And one of the people on those Skype conferences used to record them all without anyone knowing for months and sent, like, everyone that was in, I guess what you would call the opposite treehouse, you know, the enemy fort, sent them all over there. And we all listened to, like, 5 gigs worth of that treehouse, and all I can say is I really didn't understand a goddamn thing they were trying to do or why they were angry. None of it made any sense. It was all just ramblings.
5 gigs of Emmick is the idea of 5 gigs of verbal Emmick is soul crushing. Just the notion of that. I mean, it's bad enough to try to look at her Twitter feed where she obsesses constantly about the jester. Jesus.
Okay. I think we've covered Jen. I appreciate the call,
okay.
Gonzo. Great question. Good way to start off. Keep Greg on his toes. We got Greg. We got more people. Check this
hey,
out.
Thanks,
we
man.
Now. Yeah. We now have with us Neil Rauhauser. Neil Rauhauser, I think, has a question for you, Greg. Neil, you're on with...
Is this actually that guy?
Hey, Vince. Hey, Greg. How are you?
I'm okay. Interesting. I've never
heard
your voice.
I mean, this is our historic first meeting. After, like, 18 months of Ron Brunner accusing us of being co-conspirators, we actually get a chance to talk.
It's a miracle.
So, yeah.
Say I've never talked to you or heard your voice. You've screwed me.
Well, it confirms the entire conspiracy theory. I mean, this is it. We're caught.
The problem is I still have no idea. I don't know the conspiracy theory, and I don't want to. Please leave me out of it.
And this is absolutely true, that the history between Greg and I, Barrett Brown copied us both on something back in 2009, and I had no idea who Greg was, and I had went and Googled him, and I said, oh, okay, and nothing came of it. And then I didn't really think much about it until Brennert started going off, and now I record important emails, and I've got like 6 emails where I send a note to Greg about, look what Ron did, and what I get back from Greg is, I could be doing something useful instead of reading this. You people are all insane. Go away. And
that's pretty much how I respond to all of it.
You know, that's kind of the attitude I sort of get from you in general,
yeah.
Greg, which makes me think it's funny that you're on Twitter, because that's the last place somebody you want to be, dude. Because
I avoided it for a very long time.
Yeah.
I tell you, I think the whole Neil and Ron thing still confuses the hell out of me. All I really know of
it
is
I love
it. Barrett introduced me to Neil, like, via an email once, and a few days later, Neil reaches out asking if he could talk to someone at Occupy Boston, which I was hanging around. And so I go to Barrett and ask him if I should. Barrett says, you know, sure, you know, you can trust Neil. So, you know, what do I know? So I forward the email on, and then somehow, like, months later, the RSM or whoever the hell it is posts that email.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me.
And now this Ron person and all these other weirdos think that, like, second time I'd ever interacted with Ron was proof that I somehow know this guy and am, like, in some kind of weird big thing. I mean, who knows where the email came from? For all I know, Neil dropped it. I mean, like, you know, I don't know any of these people, and I get dragged into this big ball of drama. So I just looked at it all and said, I have no idea who any of you are. I don't know what the drama actually is, so I'm just going to not read any of this and go away. And I've kept it that way since. I mean, people like Ron and everyone keep trying to tell me about it or ask me leading questions like I'm part of something with all these people, but I have no fucking idea who any of these people are, and I'd like to keep it that way. They all seem fucking psycho to me.
And that's an accurate assessment. I mean, that's really concise. You know, he's cut right through it. And I think the underlying, you know, it all comes back to the crazy cat lady in New Jersey that Jen Emick was training, Michelle from Vested Protection Systems. And there's some detective that's, like, retired and got early onset Alzheimer's, and he's in Boston. And they have been hot on the heels of something, and they haven't been able to explain it to anyone in any kind of a coherent fashion. And that's kind of the root of it all. It's some people that, you know, before Reagan emptied out the mental hospitals would have been, you know, rounded up and provided with a safe living environment. And, you know, now we got, you know, they're Reagan Republicans in the true sense of the word.
Sure.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, it's Vince in the Bay. We're deep into hour number two. My special guest tonight, Greg Hausch, is in the house. We have Neil Rauhauser with us now, and we're chopping up about Anonymous and conspiracies and... Oh, God, you guys brought up Jen Emick, so I'm going to probably get some emails from Blog Talk Radio
now.
I'm going to get some emails from Blog Talk Radio in the next couple of days. So thanks a lot, guys. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it.
Is that what happens when you invoke Jennifer's name?
No, not necessarily, but she's – there's a – let's just put it this way. There's a certain few people that are – that kind of running in the same circle that I'm in, that when they get brought up on my show, they get extremely butthurt. And it got to the point where one person whose name I refuse to say, I now call him he whose name I shall not, we shall not say. I did a show with Neil. It was Neil. See, Neil is bad luck, dude. Like, seriously,
it seems to be.
Neil was on with Brooks Bain, and we were talking about Project Vigilant and some other stuff, and Brooks just made like an offhanded comment about said person whose name we shall not say, and based on that, the person reported a complaint to Blog Talk Radio, and they immediately deleted my show and pulled it down. Thankfully, I back up every show right away. And I gave a copy to Brooks Bain to host on his site. So, and then I have other people that whose name I shall not say that their names have come up periodically on the show, and they've threatened me, you know, on Twitter, and to report me to Blog Talk Radio, and it's just ridiculous. People are fucking losing it, man.
Now, there's actually a technical term that's an umbrella for those guys, and it's a querulant, and it's an old time lawyer's word for butthurt. I'll type it in the channel so people can see it, but querulant, and it means someone who's like whines to the admin about every little thing, or they spend a lot of time in court over imagined insults and threats and stuff. And you use that word, and it's guaranteed to set them off.
Right on. Okay. All right, let's move on. We got more callers. Hammurabi's Code, you're on the air with Greg Hausch. What's going on?
Oh, not a lot. Nice to meet you, Greg. I've been –
How's it going?
It's going all right. So, a little curious. It seems kind of odd. You know, it seems like a lot of times people tend to have conversations with Neil – and the next thing they know, somewhere else on the internet. Happened with Methadonna. Well, realistically, I don't even need to go through the list. It's endless. So, Neil, why does that happen? Why does that continue to happen, Neil? I mean, you're talking about Darby as though you talk about Darby like he's a turncoat faggot, yet pretty much any conversation somebody has with you is guaranteed to end up on one of your blogs. So why do you do that?
Well, there's a limited selection of material that gets put up, and when someone is committing crimes and signing my name and, you know, trying to get me indicted for shit that they've pulled, that creates a problem.
Well, I can understand and appreciate that, but...
And it's escalated in the last 72 hours with multiple FBI visits to my friends at a couple different places around the country over this faked threat against the Buffalo, New York FBI field office, and they're pulling some shit with the Capitol Police and Secret Service tonight, and they've been talking it up on Twitter.
Hey, Greg, are you there?
How's it going? What on earth is going on?
welcome to my show.
So this is the show. Well, now we know.
Yeah, so there's a show within the show right now. Right now I have Neil and Hammurabi, who definitely have some sort of butt play going on that they want to work out. So I'm just going to let them facilitate that in the green room. As you know, I have a screening room here, and I refer to it as a green room. So they're just going to work out things there, and we're going to keep taking calls. let's go now to the phone lines. We have Nigger Christ on the line. Nigger Christ, you're on with Greg Hausch. What's going on?
Hey, little Gucci, man. How it be?
It be good, man.
Hey, so I got 2 points. First off, I wish a happy Gucci-ass birthday to my nigga Danny. Yeah, good birthday, my man. And second off, I got to say, Vince, yeah, your mama's so ugly, I done fucked her in the ass and got arrested for bestiality.
All right, great. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Nigger Christ. 347-826-7667 is the number. We're going to go now to I Has Candy, hi. You're live on the air with Greg Hausch.
What's up, Greg? You know,
how's it going?
We have a sort of history with Emic, correct?
Possibly. I have no idea who I'm talking to.
Okay. Emic, if you look at consternation.us, the art of phishing, you will see that I was sent an email quite a while ago. This would be 302 of 12, where she stated that she was looking at my information. She thought that my technical skills were great. Yeah, so she basically sent me information and a link to a website, hoping to gain my IP. However, this IP was a Russian-run DDoS server. This server was illegal. Asylumbooter.us.
Okay, so she asked you to visit a booter?
Yes. She wanted me to visit this booter because she had access to the motherfucking logs. This states that she had access to asylumbooter.us, which accepts money to illegally attack websites. So this right here alone is evidence that she has broken the law. So why is she not behind bars?
You tell me if you've got evidence and proof of it.
Well,
and you care, I mean, then, you know, that's on you. I don't have any of this proof or really care about, you know, what she's got going on at this point.
All right. Well, as I stated, she stated that she was you. So she was impersonating
you. Ah, yes. She did that to
you.
A lot of people. I got a lot of very confusing emails and phone calls and messages during that whole initial, like, fake Greg Houch time, where people were, like, continuing conversations with me that they had originally started with her, and I had no idea what they were talking about. It was a very strange few weeks.
Yeah, so in 2012, she was trying to attach herself.
Oh, Jesus Christ, this is boring the balls off me. What the hell?
Yeah, I... This is like...
Man,
I will totally do a show with Emic. I mean, we can actually, like, have civil chats at this point. I don't know how or why, but we do.
I know. If we want to have an Emic show,
let's just have an Emic show. I didn't think that's what it was.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if she's listening. Jen, if you're out there, we got 30 minutes left. Enough time for you to call in and chop it up for us quick. I actually reached out to her. I told her you were going to be on my show. I said, hey, do you have anything I should ask Greg? Do you want to ask him yourself? Do you want to come on and talk? Blah, blah, blah. And she was just kind of a little coy. I don't know. She wasn't very responsive. So I don't know.
Okay.
But she's called my show before.
I'm just saying, instead of all these people saying all kinds of random things, I would be more than happy to just talk with her.
Yeah, me too. I think it'd be a great convo because to me it's interesting. It's so indicative of how the internet works in general. Like, you know, a week is like a year in internet, you know, years or whatever. You know, it's funny how you can be a friend and a foe and a friend again within a month on the internet. It's interesting that both of you, you know, originally were part of Scientology, the Chanology movement.
Yeah, I was never in Scientology. I was part of Chanology.
Right, exactly. Whatever, Chanology. And so, you know, I can see how there's you know, people can fracture or form factions within that. Like, it's inevitable, and it's interesting how eventually, because essentially, if you think about it, Jen was, for all intents and purposes, an Anon. At some point, she got outed or whatever, and now she's sort of almost like the poster child or poster girl for anti-Anons, at least it seems like to me. But
I don't know. I mean, we could go on for hours in this conversation. I don't think it entertains anyone.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. But just for the record, I have no problem with her. She's been on my show. I think she's cool. You know, my interactions with her have been fine, but they've been limited. So it's whatever. Okay, let's bring on. We got a caller now. This is Jason Davis. Go ahead, Jason Davis. You're on.
Yeah. Hi. Actually, I just wanted to know first of all from Greg if. He's familiar with Op Rantoul.
Op what?
Rantoul.
Rantoul.
It's something that occurred in Illinois.
Nope.
Walgreens parking lot. No? Okay. Hey, is I Has Candy still around, Vince?
Unfortunately, yes, he is. Go ahead. what? Go ahead. I have Candy. Can you just sound, just please, for a minute. Jason has a question, quickly.
Yeah, no, I have. Hi, how are you doing? I think you know me, don't you?
Yeah, I know you.
Okay. No, I was curious, because, you know, sometimes you leave me abandoned for a while, and you don't, you don't check in on me and stuff, and...
I'm going to stop you guys right there. All right, I've had enough. Okay, all right, listen.
What the hell?
Okay, check this out. Jason Davis, listen to me. I don't know what the fuck you're talking to I Ask Andy about. My show is not the place to do it. I've got a guest. His name's Greg Houch. You know, he's huge on the internet, and you're totally disrespecting him.
Wow.
And
he's not. I don't actually care. I just figure these people are listening, so they'd want to hear about something they'd want to hear about. I don't know.
Oh, exactly. And no, these people just want to act out their silly internet drama. But Jason, I encourage you, after my show, which is going to end, thank God, soon, about 24 more minutes, when the show ends at the top of the hour, I Has Candy is going to do his own radio show. So, and I think it's like 3 hours long. So you have, I'm sure you're going to have plenty of time to hook up with I Has Candy and whatever. So why don't you do that? And we're going to move on. We're going to bring on Shadow DXS now. Welcome, Shadow. You're on with Greg Hausch. What's up, Shadow DXS?
What's going on, Vince? And how's it going, Greg?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I don't think you and I have actually ever talked before, but,
Once on Twitter a long time ago when I tried to use it once before under a different name, but it was a while ago.
Yeah, I was probably just dismissive of you and probably just trolling you. But anyways, I've been following a lot of the stuff that's been going on with you and Barrett and, Emmick and all that stuff. And just wanted to say that, I'm pretty surprised that you kept out of a lot of the drama. It's actually kind of cool to talk to someone that isn't so far up the drama's ass that they are able to just take a break and, disassociate themselves with everything.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I'm confused by most of the drama, and I'd like to keep it that way, so I make sure not to read anything when people send it my way that sounds or looks like drama.
Yeah, I mean, it's a constant back and forth between a lot of parties. Neil Rawhauser definitely likes to chime in with his bullshit once in a while. I'm sorry to say, I actually called for Neil Rawhauser, but for whatever reason, he's not on right now.
He dropped off. I put him on timeout. Yeah.
Go fucking figure. I call for him and he fucking hauls ass.
Well, to be honest, I got Greg on the show because I wanted to talk to Greg and talk about stuff with Greg Neil calls in and it's great. He's got this connection, this relevancy because there's all this conspiracy theory that they're in cahoots and in actuality they're never even spoken. And I actually feel kind of honored to have the exclusive of them communicating for the first time ever.
Well,
I think that's
me emails that I don't pay much attention to many times. I just
He done that to me too. He does that to everybody. That's Neil. That's just what he does. He's just, he's Neil. That's just what it is. But
I don't know. I've personally been trying to back out of it.
Let's just put it this way. I've done plenty of Neil shows, and it was great that he called and we had that moment. But this isn't a Neil show. Just like it's not a Jen show. Although she's still welcome to call. But I want to keep things on track here, even though, I want to have some fun. Let's stay focused here.
I think we spent more time on the show now explaining what we would like to do instead of actually doing anything that they want to hear.
Well, yeah. What have you been up to?
It's like hurting fucking cats. This show is like hurting, like I'm like, okay.
Hey, how's it going there? Hey, Shadow, you tried to say something?
Yeah, I was asking, trying to ask a question about you. I mean, I heard something about maybe, I want to say a year and a half ago, about you doing some kind of a book thing.
I was working with Barrett on a book. It was possibly going to happen, and a deal showed up, and he's really good at dealing with those publishing types. Not my thing, but it happened. And then, he got raided, and we had like half of it done. It was most of the material in the book was about a lot of his operation, the Project PM stuff and the various connections between all the intelligence firms and the government and all that fun stuff. And
I thought they took all the material.
Well, it was going to lead in with a lot of the anonymous stuff and how Project PM got to the point where they had all that data and started making all those connections. But then, the government raided him and took, this was before his arrest, months and months before that. They raided him and took his computers, and that had all of his material. I only had minor bits and pieces here because I can't write and he can. And it also had, like, all the recordings of him interviewing me, trying to get any questions, answered that he might need to write about. And So they got most of the material, and that left me kind of stranded. The publisher still really badly wanted something, so they brought in another writer as an idea to possibly write the book, since, again, you know, I seem to be able to talk, but my written word, it reads like a third grader. I mean, it's really bad. I don't know how to write. And
yeah, I'm
fully
kind of
admit
bad at that, too.
it's just not one of my things. And me and him did not work out, and so now I'm sitting here hoping maybe Barrett gets out this year and we can finish the book up.
Hey, I hate to rain on your parade, but I highly doubt that Barrett Brown's ever going to see the light of day outside of his jail cell again.
Unless I think it's going to be a while.
You're totally dreaming, bro. He's going to get, I say when it's all said and done, he'll get like five to 7 years.
I don't know, man.
I could see it happening, too. I mean, I could see him getting somewhere around the five range. I just don't want him to.
And even that
is ridiculous. You know, it should be with time served, so he'll probably really only do maybe like, whatever, 3.5.
That's where you and I difference from Vince. I mean, you did this a lot with some of the PayPal guys and Lulzsec and a few others. I'm pro getting fucked in jail. I mean, like, straight up, if you fuck up, you deserve to spend the time there. That's all there is to it. I mean, well, I just kind of realized that I said that a little fucked up. Anyways, point is...
Yeah. That definitely sounded like you wanted.
Your shout-out to what you do.
I would have fucked at the acid prison, all right? That's what I wanted to say. Anyways.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if these kids fuck up, they deserve to be made an example of. I mean, other little kids are going to go, oh, well, look, Topiary only got, like, fucking probation and a slap on the wrist. I'm going to go start up my little 50 days of tyrant bullshit and do whatever the hell I want to do. So, I mean, you know, it's all fun and games until, you know, the party van shows up. But, you know, afterward, the courts are like, well, we don't know how to fucking handle this shit. Just get out of here. So I'm kind of I know it's fucked up to say this about another human being, but I know Barrett so well and I know what kind of person he is. I genuinely think that the guy needs help. So I think the only way he's going to find that is either A, through rehabilitation, or B, the dude's going to be incarcerated for a long period of time because he's just going to end up back in that same cycle of bullshit.
You have based a lot of that on the public information there, and based on that, I can definitely see how you got there. But, I mean, I also know him in real life, you know. I mean, I know him as a person. I know his parents. I've hung out with him. The one thing I can say is that I've gotten to talk to him on the phone every couple of weeks while he's inside. I'm one of the people on his call list there. And as the weeks go on, you know, and as they detoxed him off of all the drugs, he sounds happier and he's way more coherent. Like the mumbling has definitely slowed down. You can understand all of the words in his sentences now.
Oh,
and,
that's impressive.
So I, you know, if anything comes out of this, at least there's that.
Yeah, I mean, at least he'll be somewhat sober if he ever does get out. I mean, you know, it's the guy kind of, you know, made that huge public rant on YouTube, 3 separate videos long, and then flat out said, I'm going to, you know, kill FBI agents and shit. That's kind of bad. You know, you don't say that stuff, especially on YouTube.
Flat out, I mean, you're saying like he said the exact words, and he definitely didn't say the exact words. You could read it in a way where things are implied if you felt like reading it that way. But the thing about those videos is that he had actually been trying for about 2 weeks there to detox himself, cold turkey. He had gone off the drugs. And so those weren't actually like drug-fueled videos. They were him really jonesing for all the stuff he needed and not getting
it. They were withdrawal videos. That's awesome.
Yeah, they were withdrawal videos. And
despite
so, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Despite his mental capacity at the time, the dude still flat out said, you know, if any of the agents come into my house, I'm going to assume that they're cartel members or whatever the fuck it is he said. I'm not quoting verbatim here.
No, he
but,
said
I mean,
something similar to that. I definitely think the videos were a very bad move. I won't say that much.
I mean, for someone that, you know, likes to brag that he's, you know, into journalism and all this stuff and really good with PR, his own public relation is terrible, absolutely god-awful, and he has done that to himself. Nobody discredited him. Nobody talked shit about him in that regard. He did everything to himself.
Oh, yeah, he was very public about his addictions, absolutely.
So, I mean, if you are to do this book deal, might I suggest sticking with a writer that somebody, you know, pushed towards you and maybe kind of leaving Barrett? I mean, let him do his own thing if you guys want to collaborate after the fact. That's
they
cool.
wanted him. I mean, they actually, he was actually like one of the reasons they wanted to do this.
Can I ask why?
You know, for all of the faults that people seem to like to point out in the man, his writing is actually pretty good. You know, ignoring anything you might dislike about him, I think his writing is at a really high level. So,
I mean, that's great for his ability to write. You know, I mean, it's just
And who's to say? Wait a second, but who's to say the guy's just turned 32 years old? Who's to say his story's not over? Why can't you guys just, you know, put it on hold?
I mean,
let
I don't
work?
Even care at this point.
You know, because he's become part of the story. If you ask me, it's gotten to the point where his involvement with Anonymous has turned him as almost a pariah as a journalist. I think towards the end, I don't remember him. Like he was getting published by Vanity Fair and all these other outlets. And towards the end, I don't remember him publishing much big at all until he got. It wasn't until he got into jail that Guardian or Vice or anybody would publish his stuff. So it's kind of weird how that works.
It is, but I mean, they like the drama. The drama drives page views, and that's all those places really care about.
True. They're like
they're
the tabloids,
online websites.
The
it's not like that stuff went out in print. That stuff went out on their websites, and when it's for the website, it's for page views. It's sensationalism.
Yeah.
All right. Great call, Shadow. I appreciate it, man. We're getting really tight on time. Let's say I want to squeeze as many of these as we can get in. Here's a Skype call. Arashi, you're on the air with my guest, Greg Houch.
You're on the air with someone.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the cat. What's up, man? How you doing?
The cat.
Meow. Meow. I think I'm the only cat. Meowitude. Are there other cats?
Oh, dear God.
Are there other cats? No. I want to get totally away from drama, man. Just a point that was very important that was brought up and dismissed. That's the big, real big issue here. The law really is not equipped to deal with this. We're dealing with old-ass laws that are not informed on the public, on the time right now. The people who are making the laws are like in their 70s or 80s. The tubes people are the ones who are making the new laws. Like, how is there any way we can address that? That's really the biggest issue here.
Well, of course. I mean, that stuff can be addressed. The system is horribly broken, so it's not like what you have to say will matter too much. But as an example, like, you know, Aaron Swartz died. It was very tragic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
not really.
Well, Eric Holder and everyone else were over-prosecuting his whole group, you know, Carmen Ortiz, Steve Heyman, and all that. And when the Judicial Oversight Committee in the wonderful government was going after them and going to bring them in for a little talk and kind of publicly ask them what the hell is with all this over-prosecution and why did he kill himself, they were going about it what I thought was the wrong way. I thought instead of just asking him why this one case happened, they should also bring up a few of the other cases of over-prosecution that were still currently going on before this happened to anyone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was like 10:30 at night on a Tuesday. And so I just, you know, not knowing who to call or why, I went up to a website that listed off all the members of that committee. And then I found another website that listed off all the names of all of their staffers. And I started with Spokio and a bunch of other websites doxing every single one of their staffers until I finally got one to answer their damn phone at 10:30 at night and set up a phone call for the next day. I mean, you know, if more people did shit like that and just, I think it might matter. You know, what was interesting about that phone call is I set it up for the next day and I talked to the person I was talking to, and it was actually the person's job was the scheduler for Grayson. Her sole job was just to schedule this person's time. And so she set up a time where I was going to talk with the Democratic side of that committee the next week. they were actually interested in hearing it. I was surprised. And she said that the Republicans wouldn't want to hear it, but passed me on to one of the Republicans. And I talked to them, and they said, yeah, we don't want to talk to you at all. You're not relevant, right? Which is pretty damn true. And the next week came, and I was supposed to talk to the Democrats on Wednesday morning. And Tuesday morning came, and I get a phone call from the Republican side of the committee telling me that they want to talk to me before the Democrats get a hold of me. And so they found out that the Democrats did actually set up a meeting, so they didn't want to go in without knowing what I had told them. It was the dumbest shit. It really was. But, I mean, seriously, I got on the damn web and doxed those people until I got to the people to talk to about it. And they used what I told them against him, because pretty much from what I can tell, that entire committee only wants to yell at Holder. That's, like, their job. So they were loving it.
That makes sense. That does. And also, I think you got a good point there to go through the their advisors, because a lot of them are younger and they might have a better grasp on the issues and be able to explain it to them and very slowly so that they can start to understand.
Well, yeah, wow. I mean, a lot of them didn't get most of what I was saying, but when I just said, here are actual cases where over-prosecution is happening, here is the person's name and the state that it's happening in, have one of your staffers go do the work to get you the rest of the information. You know, they were able to write that small amount of information down at that point and go get all the details. Because they have interns who, you know, are paid to do whatever they tell them, it seems, or not.
Right on. Okay, we got another caller. Danny Dantalia. Danny, thank you for being patient. Danny, you're on with Greg. What's up?
What's going on, man? Who's Greg?
Happy birthday, Danny.
Oh, thanks, bro. Who are you?
Just some random weirdo who people seem to want to hear on the radio tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, listen, guys, it's my birthday, so if you could, my Steam ID is Jugal.
No one gives a fuck.
And if you can give me Steam games, it's Jugal is my Steam ID. And by the way, Greg, you're from, like, old school Anonymous, right?
Somewhat, yeah. I was around.
Scientology and stuff. So you're, like, really good at doxing people and finding out who they are. And, like,
that's something that pretty much anyone can do at this point. It's not that big of a skill set these days. It might have been harder, like, 6 years ago, but it's way too easy today to call it a skill.
So what are your thoughts on the current state of Anonymous, though? What do you think of Anonymous now as to what it was, say, in maybe 2003?
Well, in 2003, it really didn't get anything done at all. It was, you know, all of 20 people on a website complaining that Moot should bring snacks back.
Exactly. And wasn't it so much better then?
I think it was better around, like, the 2006 era when, you know, Habbo and whatnot was starting up. That was a lot of fun. Better than 2003, well, anyways. I've enjoyed what's been going on lately. I mean, when I woke up that morning that the protests were all going on in Europe for SOFA and ACTA and PIPA and all that, and the picture of the Polish parliament all holding masks up to their face, I thought that was interesting.
It was fun, man, but, I mean, I just miss the existentialism of it, you know? Everything now is so idealistic, and it's like, you got to do what's right. And you've got to,
moral fags.
Yeah,
definitely it's nearly completely moral fags at this point. No, I definitely miss a lot of the old fun. I mean, it was a different group at that point.
Yeah, and that was before Twitter. Twitter now Anonymous seems to have.
Are you blaming Twitter?
I'm not blaming Twitter.
Then.
Yeah, you know, I am partially blaming Twitter, I think, because
wow.
I think there's now sort of two sides of Anonymous. I think there are a few people still hanging on to the dream and in the IRCs and they really are, like, changing their handles all the time and being covert and being all dark web and all that shit. But
there's
I think there's the other
doing that.
And I think there's the other sort of slacktivist side of it that's sort of become popular on Twitter and probably on Facebook too. I wouldn't know, but. That is probably more of the moral fagging that everybody's talking about, and that's what's a shame, and that's why I feel like we need to like think past that, you know, be thinking a post anonymous internet world or whatever activist world, you know, learn from the mistakes and the victories of that and form something new and better and stronger.
Harder, better, faster, stronger.
Yeah,
that new army, you would be perfect for it.
All right, dude, we got to wrap this up. All right. Hey, settle down. Simma down now.
Simba?
All right. We got to wrap it up. We're gonna, really quick. Final thoughts. Shadow DXS, final thoughts.
Danny's birthday is irrelevant, and he has horrible taste in Android devices.
I'm gay.
Okay. Appreciate it. The call tonight, Shadow. Great call. Jason Davis, quickly, final thoughts before we end the program.
I'm gay.
No, Danny, not you. God damn it. I'm putting Danny on hold. Okay. Jason Davis, are you there? Earth to Jason. Hello? Okay. Sorry, Jason. Appreciate the call anyway. All right, Nigger Christ, final thoughts.
Hey, loves Gucci, all y'all. All y'all have a Gucci-ass week. And Greg, your girl's pussy smells like week-old Nesquik.
All right, appreciate the call. As always, Black Messiah. Anon CP Dalek, thank you for being patient. Any thoughts before we end the show?
Hey. How's it going?
Oh. Hey. Hello.
What's going on?
Hey, do you have anything? We can hear you. You're live. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
It was actually a great show. Happy birthday, Danny. I don't know how old are you, but I don't really care. Anyways, so maybe if you guys can tweet it out, what do you guys think about like the government actually suppressing, like, actually choosing who should be using the First Amendment, like it's like a little pat, like they're just saying who would.
Are you talking about the government trying to fix the shield laws where they get to choose who is actually protected and who isn't?
Yeah, that one.
Well, I think it's horrible because the language in the law is vague enough that it literally says we get to choose based on whatever we're feeling like today. And that language is, I mean, it's the big reason why the CFAA is horrible, because the language is so broad they can do whatever they want with it.
Good answer. Danny Dantalian, final thoughts.
Thatcher.
Hello? Danny, are you there?
Thatcher.
Okay, thanks, Danny. Appreciate the call tonight. Hammurabi's Code, final thoughts.
My final thoughts is this. This is a pretty good show, Vince. Nice to meet you, Greg. Neil,
nice to meet you.
You're incredible, bro. I have no fucking clue how to read you. I'm going to go ahead and link you to a bunch of shit that you apparently said and jabber, and I mean, maybe we can get this all squared away. Do this. Get a fucking drug rash. Go see a doctor. Get a fuck ton of prednisone. Go get a bunch of Adderall. Get on Twitter at like 3 in the morning. Tweet about meth. And I guess outside of that, butt chug your meth. It's the only way to go. Mainline Danny's piss. Happy birthday, Danny. Get followed by 1,000 of Spyco's bots. Have a good night.
All right.
You
appreciate
too.
The call. Appreciate the call, Hammy. And last but not least, our guest tonight, Greg Hausch. Greg, final thoughts before we sign off tonight, please.
You know, I've actually been on a few other internet radio shows that I thought were absolutely weird. And then I came on your show and realized that they were pretty damn tame. This has been a very fucked up radio show.
Yeah. Well, you get what you pay for, and I appreciate you coming on. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope you'll come back again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to sign off with one more track requested by Greg. This is Leave It Alone by NoFX. Peace out, y'all. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/VincentTheBail.
We wouldn't want to break the egg as we walk. Never alone, gosh, it's afraid. I hear the voice of reason on the PA. Leave it alone, follow the drain. We couldn't stop the irresistible force. Leave it the same, chase the lead.
Thank you very much.